Welcome to the Right to Reason podcast. This is episode 62. I am Robert Stanley. Today we're going to be talking about immigration. We have a real life Mexican for you, muy bueno. Gigi is going to help us understand what it's like to view the U.S. policy of detaining illegal immigrants from her perspective. Then Dan Errol, controversial author and activist, is going to discuss open borders. This April, Attorney General Jeff Sessions ordered prosecutors along the border to adopt a zero-tolerance policy that included prosecuting parents seeking asylum with their children. The White House has acknowledged that under the new policy, families will be separated. Sessions described it as deterrence. Despite what you may have heard, this policy is unique to the current administration. Previous administrations did not separate all families at the border. Illegal status was considered a civil crime. We've always failed at immigration, but this is new. Children are literally being put in cages and held in abandoned Walmarts and tent cities along the border. Here's Jeff Sessions, Sarah Huckabee, and Donald Trump talking about this very policy.
Illegal entry into the United States is a crime. It should be, it must be. If you're going to have a legal system and have any limits whatsoever, persons who violate the law of our nation are subject to prosecution. If you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution. And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government, because God has ordained the government for his purposes. The previous administration wouldn't prosecute aliens who entered the country with children. It was de facto open borders if you came with children. The results were unsurprising. More and more illegal aliens started showing up at the border with children. If you cross the southwest border unlawfully, then the Department of Homeland Security will arrest you, they catch you, and the department will prosecute you. That is what the law calls for, and that is what we're going to do. Having children does not give you immunity from arrest and prosecution. However, we're not sending children to jail. Law requires that children who cannot be with their parents be placed in custody of the Department of Health and Human Services within 72 hours.
Children who are being separated from their families as they come across the border. The Attorney General earlier today said that somehow there's a justification for this in the Bible. Where does it say in the Bible that it's moral to take the children away from their mothers?
I'm not aware of the Attorney General's comments or what he would be referencing. I can say that it is very biblical to enforce the law. That is actually repeated a number of times throughout the Bible. However, the Bible this hold on, Jim, if you'll let me finish. Again, I'm not going to comment on the attorney's specific comments that I haven't seen.
It's in the Bible to
That's not
the
what
law.
I said, and I know it's hard for you to understand. Even short sentences, I guess, but and please don't take my words out of context, but the separation of illegal alien families is the product of the same legal loopholes that Democrats refuse to close, and these laws are the same that have been on the books for over a decade, and the president is simply enforcing them.
It's a moral policy to take children away from their parents. Can
it's
you imagine
a moral
the
policy
that these
to
children
follow
must
and
be going through
the law.
When they come across the border,
Jim,
they're with their parents, and then suddenly they're pulled away from their parents? Why is the government doing this?
Because it's the law, and that's what the law states. And
the law. You guys don't have to do that.
It doesn't have to be the law. And the president has actually called on Democrats in Congress to fix those loopholes. The Democrats have failed to come to the table, failed to help this president close these loopholes and fix this problem. We don't want this to be a problem. The president has tried to address it a number of occasions. We've laid out a proposal, and Democrats simply refuse to do their job and fix the problem.
Two questions. First of all, there is no law that requires families be separated at the border. This was the administration's choice to move from civil matters and immigration onto criminal, to criminally prosecute people who come across the border illegally, and therefore you have to separate families. So why did the administration find that this was necessary? And if it continues to not have much of a deterrent effect, will you continue this policy?
Again, the laws are the ones that have been on the books for over a decade, and the president is enforcing them. We would like to fix the broken system that our immigration and fix our immigration problem. However, until Democrats are willing to actually fix this problem, it's going to continue. But we would like to see it fixed.
Does it take responsibility for its policy change from civil handling them as civil matters to criminal prosecution?
It's not a policy change to enforce the law. That's been this administration's policy since the day we got here.
In April, that he was going to move from handling it as a civil matter.
It has been our administration's policy.
The administration said it was a deterrent. They're separating families to deter people from coming here illegally.
Our administration has had the same position since we started on day one that we were going to enforce the law. I know it was something that wasn't high on the priority list in the previous administration, but it is on ours. We're a country of law and order, and we're enforcing the law and protecting our borders. We would like to fix these loopholes, and if Democrats want to get serious about it instead of playing political games, they're welcome to come here and sit down with the president and actually do something about
it.
Jill.
Don't you have any empathy?
Jill, go ahead.
Come on, Sarah. You're a parent. Don't you have any empathy? Empathy for what these people are going through.
Jill,
they have less than
Brian,
you do.
Guys,
Sarah, come on,
settle down.
Seriously.
I'm trying to be serious, but I'm not going to have you yell out of turn. Jill, please call.
It's a law, and they have, these people have nothing.
Hey, Brian, I know you want to get some more TV time, but that's not what this is
about.
I want to recognize you. Go ahead, Jill.
Honestly, answer the question. It's a serious question. These people have nothing. They come to the border with nothing, and you throw children in cages. You're a parent. You're a parent of young children. Don't you have any empathy for what they go through?
Jill, go ahead.
Children being taken away, the Democrats have to change their law. That's their law.
Quiet.
That's the Democrats' law. We can change it tonight. We can change
you're
it right now. I will leave
right
here.
Now.
No, no.
Sessions,
you need their votes. You need their votes.
The
Democrats, all they have to do.
You control both chambers of Congress.
No, the
Democrats.
Excuse me. By one vote, we don't need it. You need 60 votes. We have a one vote. Excuse me. We need a one vote. We have a one vote edge. We need 60. So we need 10 votes. We can't get them from the Democrats.
Mr. President,
now, wait. You can't do it through an executive order. Can we do one question at a time? Wait, one question at a time.
Mr. President, why did
the children can be taken care of quickly, beautifully, and immediately. The Democrats forced that law upon our nation. I hate it. I hate to see separation of parents and children. The Democrats can come to us as they actually are, in all fairness, we are talking to them, and they can change the whole border security. We need a wall. We need border security. We got to get rid of catch and release. You catch a criminal, you take his name, you release him, and he never shows up again. He goes into our society. And then we end up getting him in a different way, oftentimes after he's killed somebody. We've got to change our laws. The Democrats have control because we don't have the votes. The Republicans need, we need more Republicans, frankly, and that's why I think we're going to do so well in the midterms.
That and because
we have the strongest economy in the history of our nation. We have the best jobs numbers in the last 44 years, top of drudge. The best job numbers in 44 years.
Then why did Jeff Sessions announce a zero tolerance policy at the border on May 7th? Is
because
that not
he's following
a Republican?
No,
is that
he's following laws. He's following a law.
That was a direct order to.
Can I answer your question, please?
Yes.
Okay, you're just asking me the same question over and over. He's following laws, very simply, that were given to us and forced upon us by the Democrats.
But there's no law that says families have to be separated at the border.
The Democrats gave us the laws. Now, I want the laws to be beautiful, humane, but strong. I don't want bad people coming in. I don't want drugs coming in. And we can solve that problem in one meeting. Tell the Democrats, your friends, to call me.
This episode of the Right to Reason podcast is brought to you by Phil Calderone, My Humble Assault, Enema Man, Larry Wilson, Gregoria, and Bernard Lambarell. If you want to support the broadcast, You could do so at patreon.com/right. Contributors to this episode are Jason Como from alostateofmind.com and me, Dave Blair. You can get a free song of mine at davefreesong.com/free music. If you believe in the message of the right to reason but can't volunteer or contribute financially, you can still help by sharing it with your friends, giving it a rating on iTunes, subscribing to it on YouTube, following it on Twitter at @righttoreason1, and following the Right to Reason page on Facebook. You can also write into the show and have your ideas read on air by clicking our contact link at therighttoreason.com. Thank you to our community of listeners for supporting your right to reason.
Gigi's going to join us to talk about Trump and his new executive order to no longer separate families. She hasn't been on the show in a little while. If you remember, she used to do Gigi Spot, where she would promote particular charities that she thought had value and thought were making a difference. Here's Trump presenting his new executive order.
A lot of happy people.
Look how pompous he looks.
Very strong borders. But we're going to keep the families together. Oh. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated.
Oh, you didn't? You're the one that put it together, you fucking idiot.
His wife felt strongly about it.
I think
yeah, I can tell.
Anybody with a heart would feel
jacket,
very strongly about
right?
it.
Yeah,
we don't like
jacket.
To see families separated. At the same time, we don't want people coming into our country illegally. This takes care of the problem.
Ugh, it just makes me cringe. Like, it gives me goosebumps just thinking. Ugh.
But it was a law before this, right?
Right, but it was never enforced. I mean, even
it was
under
a, it was
Obama's
a civil law. Right.
It just wasn't something that they did. I mean,
right. So the idea is,
point.
if you're committed, you commit a crime right now.
Right.
And you've got, let's say you're driving down the road and you pull out a gun and shoot someone from your car. The cops come over and arrest you. Obviously, they are, by definition, separating you from your children. And if your kids don't have a home, then they're going to have to put them in a detention center. That's actually the nice thing to do in that situation, rather than just leaving them homeless on the side of the road.
Agreed.
Because you've committed a crime. That's what else are we supposed to do? But the difference is they were treating it like a civil crime, like running a red light. So essentially, it's like what we're doing now is we're saying, you run a red light, they put your kids in a detention center and lock you up. You don't have to enforce every crime to the full extent of the law. And that wasn't happening under the previous administration or the one before that or the one before that.
You have to use discretion.
They understood.
Well, I mean, let's not even give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say that they knew that that would be a horrible political move on their part.
Yeah.
And it would make their party look like some real horrible sons of bitches. But he does it and his base has no problem. Their response is, well, if you don't
want
your kids put in prisons or private prison systems, yeah. tent cities, well, don't try to come across the border. That's the response.
You're right. They are in support of it. It's just another thing. And they keep pushing that bar of what's acceptable now. And it's disgusting. I really...
We need a name for them. Like, call them, like, Trump tents. Or something like that, so that we, you know, the affordable health care was attached to Obamacare and his name's in it. This needs to have the name in it. We need proper liberal marketing strategies. Resist did not work. That was not good. It sounded cool. Like you're part of the resistance, like Terminator. It just didn't sell. We need a good marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Pink pussy hats aren't going to cut it. So you're a Mexican, right?
Yeah, yeah. So totally brown-skinned.
Are you a,
man.
Rapist?
Yeah.
Are you bringing drugs? Are you a member of MS-13?
OMG. Are you writing my storybook?
The worst thing about this is how obvious it is. Separating families was not part of the policy.
Yeah.
Then they make it part of the policy.
And only met with outrage is when they're going to change it.
Right.
I mean,
he
was using it as a pawn. He wanted money for the fucking wall, and he thought he could get it that way, and he didn't realize how heartless, in fact, he was actually being.
I looked at the executive order, and it didn't have anything in it. You know, it's not a bill. It does have to, he said it, you know, next it has to go through Congress, and technically that's not true. I mean, big surprise, Trump lied. They can propose a bill that would counteract an executive order. That's with any time he does an executive order. But then he could veto that it's kind of dumb for him to say it has to go through Congress.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what the Democrats think. And the other thing that bothers me is he says, you know, this is all the Democrats' fault, but Republicans have the majority in the House and the Senate. It's just one lie on top of another, and we're comfortable with it. We're okay with it.
I mean, I don't think that his base actually thinks that what he's saying is like factual. I think
no.
That they just give it to him because they're like, oh, no.
They were angry.
Yeah.
They wanted a human Molotov. They were pissed off at the government. Just like left and right were pissed off about it.
Yeah.
We all see the problems that are going on. It's just whether or not...
And the leaders that they try to propose to us are just fucking ridiculous all around,
right.
You know?
Do you want to punch up or do you want to punch down? Because it takes no courage to punch down. So whenever something goes wrong, do you say, let's look at the people with power and try to take their power and give it to the people? Or do you want to punch down and say, let's look at the people with no power and try to take something from them? And whenever you're an immigrant seeking asylum, all you have is your freedom at that moment, and you use that freedom to try to get out of a horrible situation that you're in. So what do we take? We take their freedom. Oh, well, what else do they have? They have a family. We're going to take your family.
Yep.
That's all it is. Do you want to punch down or do you want to punch up? And I think whenever people voted for Trump, they were angry and they decided, let's fuck this shit up. And I'm down for that. That's cool. That's classic anarchist philosophy, man. Let's do it. Let's make some changes. But they said, all right, but let's do it half-ass. I really believe this whole Trump movement that came out of the Tea Party, it's not necessarily wrong in its attempt. It's just half-assing something. It's a lazy way of going about it because they say, let's make a difference, but I don't want to try too hard. Let's punch down instead of punching up. And I say, punch up. Look at the banks. Let's look at the corporations. Let's look at the top 1%. Let's look where these things... Let's look at corruption in the government. You're not going to solve that by putting a celebrity there. What does that do? Obviously, it mixed things up, but all it did is it replaced the Republican Party with the Trump Party. Every Republican legislature is now afraid that if they don't support Trump, the base is going to get mad at them. And it's proven to be true. If you change your mind about Trump, or you come out and you speak out against Trump as a Republican, you don't get that vote. All they got to do is have just one crazy guy running that says, I like Trump, and he's going to get the vote, not you. And that's what's happened. And this is what happens when you just say, fuck it. Fuck the system. No, have a plan and don't half-ass it. Punch up, don't punch down. And this is the result of saying, I'm angry, and let's just do something about it. Whatever it is, I don't care. I just want somebody to drain the swamp. Well, this is what happens. Real people get hurt. Real people suffer. And in this case, it's children. At least he's passed the executive order. He says he's not going to do the thing that he started doing anymore. It's good. I'm glad it stopped. It does show that speaking out changes things. He's a populist.
It said, okay, maybe I've gone too far. That's all it said to him.
You think?
You know, he said, okay, he was trying this horrible thing.
You think he's in a moral quandary?
Well, no. I just think that he goes, oh my God, he's getting so much negative publicity about it. He's like, well, clearly I went too far on this one. Not morally for him. He's just checking himself to make sure that he's, you know.
As a populist.
Thank you.
But what I wonder about is it didn't seem like his base had a problem with it. And he doesn't respond to what the left. I mean, there's been march after march after march. And there's Antifa and, you know, there's things going on. People are obviously opposed to him. But on the left, he's responding to this that seemed to come from the left. The right didn't.
Everywhere. I mean.
Was there a lot from the right pushing against this? I didn't see that.
Can't find him anywhere.
It obviously wasn't going to last with his plan. I think his plan right from the beginning.
His plan was to get funding for the wall. That was his plan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And the whole blame it on the
children as ransom until he got his motherfucking wall.
But he didn't see his plan of saying, we're going to blame it on the Democrats working. So he just reversed it. And then he thought, I'll use this as a publicity stunt. To act as if I do care about immigrant children.
You got lemons, make lemonade.
All right, so here's Fox and Friends. I'm just playing this to piss you off, Gigi.
Drug cartels, opioids, we stop 10 terrorists every day from getting into this country.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant...
This is literally today's Fox and Friends broadcast. Gang symbols... violence. That's the images that we're actually watching right now. People punching each other. Trump looking majestic with the Korean American flag behind him. This is propaganda. This is a state.
It's like
5 p.m. this afternoon.
It's state propaganda.
I mean, I don't.
I mean, I guess you could say the same for the Obama administration if you're watching MSNBC. They're like, oh, look at them dancing. For some reason, they're adding sports stuff now. I guess that's cool. But yeah, you could make the same claim about during the Obama administration, MSNBC talking about how him and Michelle danced so beautifully together. I'm going to fast forward to where they're talking. And,
meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, this part pisses me off.
It looks like the whole world's gone crazy in some respects. There's all this political intimidation going on.
Political intimidation?
Down in Washington couldn't eat out.
Hold on. Shouldn't there always be political intimidation, whether you're left or right? They fucking work for us. That's how they get a living, is by us intimidating them. That's our job as the people, and their job is to respond. I hate, like, oh, political intimidate. How dare you treat our politicians badly? Fuck them. Are you kidding me? We need to bring back the guillotine.
Oh, God.
I want people to care. What was that country that was throwing their politicians in the dumpsters a couple years ago?
What?
It was, it was one of those European countries. I think it was Greece. I saw that, and I got a hard-on.
Nielsen couldn't eat out. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And then you got Pam Bondi down in Florida. She simply tried to go to the Mr. Rogers movie.
Oh, God.
And she
was not welcome in the neighborhood.
Nope, not at all. And why stuff like this happen? That's the question. What is leading to the environment in which members of the Trump administration are confronted, not just based on their professional capacity, but in their personal capacity with their
family? Why do you give a fuck about them? They don't work.
In this country that
they
are
don't fucking work for you.
Maxine,
well, they work for them.
Sorry, they should be handling.
They're rich. It works for them. Yeah.
Fuck that video.
You don't like Fox and Friends?
What?
It was quality journalism.
God.
The head of Homeland Security goes to a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, where they scream shame at her. That video.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel bad for her.
I know.
But not for people that are actually being affected.
Right.
Like, and that's what I'm talking about punching up or punch down.
Yeah.
They don't want to punch up. They don't want to punch that direct, because it takes effort. It's hard to do.
What did you think about Sessions quoting the Bible?
I mean, it's typical. Whenever you have to do something for the right reasons, and you're doing something good, you don't have to quote classic religious texts. If I buy a hungry guy a sandwich, I don't have to have a Bible verse to it. But if I'm doing something wrong, I have to justify it. I know it's wrong. I think we do recognize right and wrong, and we need to justify what we're doing. So people will say, oh, well, the law says this. You know, we're going to imprison children. Well, that's the law. I'm referencing something because I recognize that ethically I don't have a lot to stand on. Or we're going to imprison children. Well, here's the Bible.
I feel like my neighbors think this way, or respond this way,
your
or okay with this.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
The person waiting behind you at the grocery store.
I'm in a red motherfucking state, okay? Texas is no fucking awesome place. I mean, unless you go to like major cities like Austin and places
I don't like
that.
Boston.
Either which way.
San Antonio's nice.
There you go.
Anthony Magna Bosco, shout
damn.
Out.
And
do you know he still does ramps? He's still doing that. He's been doing that for years.
Damn. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, he builds ramps for people that are invalid and have a hard time getting up and down stairs.
Shit, that's like super awesome, man. Fucking love.
But you see, that's my point, though. Whenever he's doing that, he doesn't have to reference ancient text.
Right.
But if he went and punched an invalid.
No. I feel like everything that's happening and the realization of the world that we actually live in has become a major bummer for me, you know, personally. I'm constantly interacting with people that I think they are just, it's not inherently bad people. They just have these warped ways of thinking.
Or that coworker you had.
And what?
That whenever challenged, I mean, she seems like a nice lady, you know, you guys have been working together for years. And then all of a sudden the conversation about Trump comes up and she says, well, if you were an illegal, which I think that term's interesting by itself, because you're giving them a particular name. It's like calling you a shifty Jew. You know what I mean? Like it's
God, no.
But yeah, but I mean think about it. Like you're illegal. How can a person be illegal.
Right.
As their status.
We're all fucking humans. Right. And it kills
these,
me.
These lines we draw, I'm not saying I think we should have open borders necessarily, although I would entertain the idea. But yeah, so your coworker, you guys are just talking, and then all of a sudden the topic of Trump comes up. And
yeah, I remember that.
Where she would normally remain silent about something that just feels bigoted. It doesn't feel comfortable. Now they have a voice.
Oh, yeah. Now and they're comfortable in it, and they want to talk.
You got a tiki torch moment now. Mm-hmm. And this lady says, well, I mean, if you were illegal, I would call ICE on you.
Yeah. She said she would deport me.
What the fuck? Yeah. I would get you deported.
Yeah.
And she feels justified no shame in that by whatsoever. Referencing law.
No.
As if law is a moral guideline.
Right.
I mean, how is that any different from saying during the days of slavery, if I knew that you were a former slave and you ran away from your slave owner, I would contact the authorities on you. How is that any different?
No.
You're not just complicit.
Yeah.
You're participatory.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so
and happily doing so as well. That's the part that's scary to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, and once again, not a bad woman. Totally cool lady. I love her to pieces. Very nice lady. But the way that she thinks is a little bit odd, and it shines a light on the fact that I am living amongst, I'm the minority living amongst all these people that are thinking these horrible things, and feeling this way and feeling loud and proud. And it's scary because I love my fellow man. I don't want to see anybody being ripped away from their fucking families. You know, I don't want to see that. I don't like watching those videos and hearing them cry for their parents. I mean, it's disturbing on such a level. And the fact that that they're even okay with it, and a lot of them are saying just fuck them. I mean, did you see that one thing with that lady saying she'd shoot them?
We always characterize it as one group thinking that another group has less value. And I think that at the heart of it, it actually is just a lack of value for humanity itself. Mm. I don't think that what often looks like racism is either a form of systemic racism, perhaps, but I think it's just a lack of value for humanity. They don't even think that they have value. They don't think that humanity should have a certain value in and of itself.
Nah, that's...
I think that there's something about that that's very quintessential to the ability to treat someone badly. I think it's in the same vein as saying, like, this is a stepping stone to going on to eternal life or paradise or some kind of afterlife where things are going to be awesome. Well, why would we have to put value into what we have right now? You know, just because you have that as part of your foundation epistemologically, that leaves you open to devaluing the time that you have. And if you devalue humanity as a whole, that leaves you open to devaluing others just based on subtle differences like melanin in your skin or where you were born.
It's something.
All right, so Jeff Sessions quoted from Romans 13, "Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." This is why Christianity was successful, by the way. Because it told people to give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. It worked economically. A sense of just do what you're told. Yeah, slaves be subject to your slave master. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
It worked very well with the system. If it went against the system, it would not be popular today.
There you go.
It continues, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God," the power being the powers that be, "and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." See, now we're linking... Those in authority are ordained by God, and if you're a criminal, if you're going against not just the law of the Old Testament, but if you're going against the law of your state, then you're objecting to the law of God, and God will give you damnation. It's linking those two things together, which is really jacked up. That's why the Nazi belt buckle has the inscription, "God with us." If we skip down to verse 5, things start to become a little bit more complicated, however, because it says, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake." So now it's not just act based on fear, but act based on your conscience. What if the law goes against your conscience? Down to verse 8, "Owe no man anything." How does that work with fucking capitalism?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now you're having some problems. but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now he's not referencing the law of the state, but the law of the Bible. The Pentateuch is a word. For this thou shalt not commit adultery.
Bam. Oh my gosh. What's the marriage divorce rate now? What, 50% of people that enter into marriage?
Well, I mean, even Jeff Sessions' boss. Thou shalt not kill. How are we doing that in the Middle East where this was originally written? Thou shalt not steal. Well, the people that are coming into our country are a product of Clinton's NAFTA policies, in which we stole resources from the neighboring countries around us. That's why they're poor. I mean, obviously, they do have a corrupt government, but a lot of the problems with Mexico do come from the powers that be, a.k.a. their neighbors.
Ba-bam.
Thou shalt not covet. How does that work in capitalism, where greed is good? And if there be any other commandment, and is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who's America's neighbor? It must be Canada, but we're fucking up with that too. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. I think Jeff Sessions just didn't read long enough.
I think if he would have just kept going, he would have realized, let's not rip them away from their minds.
Maybe ancient religious text just isn't how we should formulate our laws.
Good idea.
And often the religious right references that we should follow the Ten Commandments, base our laws off the Ten Commandments, but they leave out the other 603 of them, which involve things like not mixing fabrics, not eating shrimp. And if you want to make sure that your goats have striped fur, have them fuck in front of a stick that's striped.
Oh my god.
Gigi, thanks for talking to us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
Senator, President Trump just tweeted telling Democrats to help Republicans make changes to immigration reform. You caucus with the Democrats. You're in the minority in the Senate. You're in the minority in the House. You don't hold the White House. When it comes to immigration, what specifically are Democrats willing to compromise on?
Well, Jake, the problem we have is we have a president who's not serious about policy, a president who lies every single day, a president who told us that he couldn't do anything about ripping children from the arms of their mothers that had to be in Congress, and then 2 days later he passed an executive order. So that's the first problem we have. Clearly, anyone who looks at the record understands that the Democrats in Congress have been serious about comprehensive immigration reform. That's what the American people want, and a path towards citizenship for people who are undocumented. Democrats are serious about dealing with the DACA crisis in this country. 80% of the American people think that we should provide legal status to the 1.8 million people in the DACA program. President rescinded Obama's executive order. These young people raised in the United States, in school, working, are now fearful about being deported. So what we need is comprehensive immigration reform. We need Obama. We need Trump now to make it clear that the United States of America is not a nation which tears children from their parents.
But Senator,
and then we need to get about dealing with comprehensive immigration reform.
I didn't hear you say anything there that you're willing to compromise on. For example, in exchange for, or as part of a larger legislative package on immigration reform that includes the steps you just took, you just outlined, would you be willing to support a border wall, for example? Would you be willing to go to more of a merit-based immigration system?
Jake, I held my nose and very reluctantly voted for some money for a border wall. That's what we voted for. We couldn't get even that legislation passed because it protected the young people in DACA, and we had minimal amount of Republican support. But let us be very clear. What the president is now trying to do is to divide the American people up, whether it is, in this case, immigration, whether it is the needs of African Americans, whether it is the needs of minorities in general. What he's trying to do is divide us up and not focusing on the real issues that impact the American people.
Well,
immigration is a very important issue, but so is the rising cost of health care. So is the fact that we pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. So is the fact Trump talks about the needs of the American worker. You got millions of people working longer hours for low wages. The president's job is to bring people together to address the problems that we face, not to divide us up and not to demagogue against desperate people who are coming into this country.
Well, you call it demagoguery. President Trump says that he is giving voice to people who don't get heard from. He, for instance, he's suggesting that Democrats need to focus more on the victims of crime committed by undocumented immigrants instead of looking at the children separated at the border. I want you to take a listen at this from President Trump on Friday.
These are the stories that Democrats and people that are weak on immigration, they don't want to discuss, they don't want to hear, they don't want to see, they don't want to talk about.
How do you respond to President Trump making that argument? How Go ahead.
I respond in two ways. Number one is I understand that the crime rate among undocumented people is actually lower than the general population. Number two, where was Trump bemoaning the fact that we had a guy in Las Vegas shooting down dozens and dozens of Americans? We had a young American walking into a high school in Parkland, Florida, shooting down kids. Crime is terrible. Murder is terrible. Let's deal with those issues, and let's not suggest that the only causes of crime are coming from undocumented people. But once again, what our job is a government, is to address the issues facing the American people. And time again, Jake, we have a president who lied to the American people. A president who told us he was going to take on the pharmaceutical industry. He lied. Drug prices are going up all across this country. He was going to guarantee during his campaign health care to everybody. More and more people have no health insurance. The cost of health care is going up. Unemployment is low, but for millions of workers, real wages are going down because of the cost of affordable housing.
Dan Errol is an author, activist, and journalist. Happy to have you here, sir.
Thank you for having me on.
I first was introduced to you through crazy tweets and Facebook posts, and I thought, man, this guy's really out there. And then back then you were doing the podcasting with Danthropology, and I listened to you. You know, I just let you go right into my ear holes. I realize you're a lot more reasonable than maybe some people might think, just because they see, you know, these controversial tweets that you'll make on occasion. So I thought, with talking about immigration, Dan's really the guy to go to here, because you have this crazy concept that open borders might just work, right?
I do. It's surprisingly controversial.
Yeah, like ethically, even philosophically, you know, I'm on board with you there. I mean, it's just ridiculous, arbitrary lines in the dirt, right? Pragmatically, I just don't see how it could work out.
And I understand your argument and your side and how you can see, like, all right, great, like, people should be free to move around the world. Like, these are lines we've drawn. These are lines usually drawn to control and have power. And, you know, I own this from here to there. And so I understand, like, when you have this sort of world dynamic and you have this country hates this country and these people hate these people, free movement can sound scary, because one common, you know, right wing argument is, well, why doesn't ISIS just walk right into the U.S. then? Mm-hmm. And that's a valid point. There are people that want to harm other countries because of their government, their belief structures, their religions, et cetera. And so you have people that would just be like, oh, open borders, I can walk in, no problem. And so, you know, the broader question is, why do terrorists want to attack us? You know, is it because we're dropping bombs on their countries? Is it because we're, you know, putting sanctions on these governments, but the sanctions that we put on these countries hurt the people in them? And so we have to kind of look at open borders and our overall foreign policy as one, because Trump just recently was giving a speech and said something about all the good work we do in Latin America and all this. But how do Latin Americans feel about the work, quote unquote, we do in Latin America? You know, I mean, we meddle in their politics. We tell them how to run their countries. We support groups that end up hurting civilians. Like, how many times has the U.S. worldwide backed dictatorships that end up murdering thousands, if not millions, of people? Like, we have this long history of doing these things. So it's easy to say, yeah, open borders are going to cause problems when we're meddling around the world causing, you know, problems.
We gave someone a virus and then we're complaining about the symptom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I get the argument that, like, look, we need, but, you know, when I call for open borders, I don't expect, especially this government, to just say, like, oh, you're right, open borders, and then leave it at that, and then the rest of our policies continue as they are. It's the same as, you know, I get a lot of crap for saying abolish the police. I believe very much that we need to get rid of the police system.
Wow.
But I don't think it's something that you just hit a gavel on the thing and say the police don't exist anymore and everything goes about without police. There needs to be a replacement or a structure that gives you something different in communities and that, you know, protect people because there are bad people that exist.
Would you also say instead of abolishing ICE, we should abolish / replace?
No. ICE exists in a much different way than I would say a police force. ICE has one job and one job only, and that is to enforce the border patrol policies of the government only. And they do that in such a Gestapo-like style. I don't think we need something like that. Mm. I don't think that we have a need for a division like ICE. And I even hesitate to say, when I say replace police, I don't mean like take police away and then replace it with something else with a different name that does the same job. You know, there's a brilliant book by an author named Alex Vitale called The End of Policing. It's in the same way like I almost talk about borders, is that it's about creating different structures in your communities that make the police job in that area unnecessary. So like mental health. When we see somebody having a mental health crisis in the middle of the street, we call 911 and they send the police. And the police aren't trained to handle that. And how many times does that end up with that person being shot and killed?
I heard a neat idea about having a trained therapist present with police. You know how like cops will often ride with a partner or something like that? Like, but they're
right.
Having a therapist present at all times that might alleviate some of these problems.
But imagine just having a number you could call where it was just, instead of police officers carrying weapons, people showed up that were trained in how to de-escalate someone episode like that.
Like poison control, something like that. Where
if
my kid
shows up
choking ate some Ajax, I don't call the cops. I call poison control.
Right, exactly. And so you're calling somebody that can deal with the situation at hand. And what that does is that removes the cops from that situation.
Hmm.
And so they're not necessary there anymore. And so, like as I'm saying with borders, like we're not just saying, like, borders are gone. Like, there has to be a grand plan overarching all of it. And that's the same, like I said, with police. Like, police and schools, same kind of thing.
Okay, so if we have open borders, isn't that going to, you know, the Mexican economy is then going to pull down the United States economy, right? All these people are just going to rush in. I don't want to use the cliche take our jobs thing, but it certainly is going to cause us to have to increase our social services, possibly police services, hospital insurance stuff is going to go through the roof. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be certain repercussions that seem that would happen on all the southern states right
away.
Well,
yes and no, because there's a lot of data out there that supports that right now immigration is actually going in the other direction. And I don't feel that if we just like said, like, okay, the Mexican border is open, that everyone's going to rush out of Mexico. Just like there's people in the United States that love the United States, there's people in Mexico that love Mexico, and they're staying to fight to make it better. I mean, they just won a massive election yesterday.
It's a beautiful country. A lot of people don't know that.
You know, we tend to look at it in these pockets where we say, like, Tijuana is dangerous, and we just assume the rest of the country is like that.
Right.
And we assume that everyone wants to get out. And what you have is, I think if we had open borders and we had more flow, I think we could actually really change that dynamic of how these two countries work together. If these social services go up and they cost more, well, then we need to look at how we're handling those, because when someone crosses the border and needs medical help, oh my God, give them medical help.
Right.
Like, that to me, like, that's my humanism in action. I don't care what border your mom's butt was on when she gave birth to you. If you need help, you need to get it, and you need to receive it no matter how, like, whatever it takes to get it to you, we need to be working towards getting that to you. Yeah, that's sort of how I just view the entire world. If people are in need, we should be working together on solutions to solve those needs, not saying, oh, but it's going to drive up our insurance prices. Well, we shouldn't really have insurance prices. Like, I mean, now we're going to get into a, you know, a different discussion. But what we have is that we tend to keep looking at it as, if they come here, they're going to hurt me how? In reality, they're not coming here and taking, you know, quote unquote, our jobs. They're taking jobs, but they're taking jobs that most Americans which won't take.
Do you think that if there wasn't this labor force that was so willing to take low wages, that more people would be doing those jobs? They would just require it to be at a higher wage?
I don't necessarily know that they would, because some of the jobs they take are just grueling. Like, you know, I live in Southern California, and so, you know, we have a massive influx of people coming across the border. And if I drive up the 5, which is the major freeway here that goes all the way up into Canada, you drive through massive amounts of farmland. And what you see them on the hottest day, 110 degrees outside, and they are outside doing manual hard labor. I know very few people that would do that for 3 or 4 times the amount they're being paid to do it, because it is grueling. I mean, it is taxing. It hurts them. It takes a toll on their bodies and their lives. I think we should be grateful that there's people willing to do that kind of work. And I believe that we should be paying them more to do it. But I don't see it as this massive change, because I don't think that many Americans are going to be that willing to just go do it. I tell you one thing, I ain't doing it.
My first job, like, when I was 11 years old, was working at a peach stand. I was the only white guy there, white kid. But my job was just to sell the peaches up front in this like little air conditioned thing with a fan on my face, you know. And there was nothing but Hispanic workers behind me all pulling all these peaches, right? And then one day the boss comes over and he's like, hey, I need you to go help them out. We're having a tough day. So, oh, yeah, no problem. I go back there. I'm like, how do people live like this? This is outrageous.
Yep. And the thing is, we take that for granted. Like, we think that we other Mexicans so much that we actually feel like that's the jobs they deserve. Like, we act in such a way that it's like, well, that's if they want to come here, they can take those jobs. No one deserves that. We need to find a way to automate those jobs. No one deserves to have to do that kind of labor. They're coming here for such a willingness, or such this idea of some American ideal, that they're willing to do that for themselves and for their families. And we spend so much time othering them, like that we really believe that that's their role, which is a terrible way to think of other human beings.
It's punching down.
It is very much punching down. It's punching down and then spitting on them while they're down.
It's the whole idea of they're going to take our jobs is, hold on, why are the jobs arranged in this way? Look at the people of power and the capitalist agenda that have set up a system where we're all fighting one another just to feed our families. We're all competing together for them rather than the other way around. And we think as if there's not enough jobs out there, but that's just intended scarcity of the labor, because there's jobs everywhere. You know, if you look at, is your water clean? Are your parks being taken care of? Are the streets, you know, the infrastructure around you the best that they could be? I mean, there's work everywhere.
But we have this double standard as well. And I saw a tweet during this whole, you know, immigration debate happening that really like summed it up so beautifully. And it said, you know, you think that all the Mexicans crossing the borders are murderers and rapists, but they're also going to take your job. What the fuck do you do for a living?
Perfect. Could you tell everybody where they can find these crazy tweets you have, or learn more about you?
Of course. So the best way to find me and get really mad at me right away is to follow me on Twitter. So that's at Dan Arel, DanArel. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/DanArelBlog. And then you can visit danarel.com, which is kind of bland right now because I'm just been too busy to really keep up with it. But from there, you'll find links to all my social sites and other projects I'm working on.
It's a good connection, though.
Perfect. Yep.
Dan, exactly. Thank you so much for talking to us today, and I look forward to having you back. I got a lot more questions about anarchism, communism, Noam Chomsky. I don't know. All of it.
I would love to come back anytime.
All right, man. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Can save the day today for someone in need by going to whoismyrepresentative.com. That's whoismyrepresentative.com. I'll include the link in the show notes. Call your congressman and let them know that they will not get your vote unless they resist separating families, oppose the border wall, and support DACA. We need to abolish ICE, get our fellow people out of the detention centers, and give them the freedom and dignity that we all deserve. Don't give me that bullshit. Oh, it doesn't matter what we say. They're not going to listen to us. Fuck off with that. Humanity didn't get this far by giving up when things got tough. People fought and died for your freedom of speech. Let's use it today and tell this country that the United States of America is not going to repeat the human rights violations of internment camps. Free your brothers and sisters along the border. And if you still have some doubt, remember that this is already working. Trump started caging kids and the people said no. What did they do? They did what we fucking told them to do, goddammit. Keep telling them what to do. This is still a fucking democracy, and I'm not going to let this bullshit continue while I still have a voice. I need you to fight with me. I want to thank Gigi and Dan Arrow for talking to us today. If you recognize the music in this episode, that's because it's from a popular 1980s movie soundtrack. If you can be the first to name the movie it's from, I'll send you a free coffee mug with our logo on it. Go to therighttoreason.com. That's therighttoreason.com. And click contact. Be the first to name that movie. And you can sip your cup of joe while knowing that you have the right to reason.
Getting off topic by talking about cops so much, but there's like a parallel to the story of, you know,
yeah, it does kind of link up. It seems like it's kind of rooted in anarchism in a way. Is that a fair accusation?
Very much so. You're asking an anarchist if his policies are rooted in anarchism. Yes, they are.
Touching on that for a moment, for anyone that thinks that anarchism is just saying, let's just live in chaos, no government, no nothing, it's actually somewhat more reasonable than that, right?
Much more. So there's two ways, because I think people get confused. There's anarchy, which what a lot of people just assume is anarchism. So anarchy is, you know, chaos and whatever. Like, that's the definition of the word. Anarchism is, in a more broad sense, it's called libertarian socialism. So when we think about libertarianism, we think about like Ron Paul and the U.S. Libertarian Party, who's like, you know, smaller government, everyone just does their own thing. Well, they tend to root that in a more capitalist free market society. Libertarian socialism is a very similar idea. You whittle down the government to next to nothing. So there is still oftentimes in anarchist theory, a government, but there's no like overarching state in that sense. And what you have is people who are free to live their life the way they choose. But instead of using like this selfish free market idea that libertarians possess, anarchists tend to hold more of a view that people are actually innately good and will help each other, and that we can build societal structures in which we all care for each other, and that it's self-autonomy with mutual aid. It's very much radical democracy and community-based. So don't think of the U.S. as this one overarching big giant country and there's one central government that is in charge of all of it. Like, each community in this country has all different kinds of needs. And if you're in, you know, rural or suburban, or like if you're living in farmland, your needs and what's happening around you is different. And communities should be coming together and thinking, how can we solve these for our communities? How can we make sure everyone has housing, food, medical care? What can we do to ensure that everyone has that? How do we come together? And the doctors in the community can be like, look, I'm going to provide this kind of care. And people are like, I can provide food. And people are like, I can build houses and renovate houses. And people just start coming together and do these things together. So it's not chaos. It's very much communities working together to make something better. An example I constantly come back to is the Black Panther Party. What you had there was you had these people and communities that the government had just abandoned. Mm. They couldn't get medical care. They couldn't get food. They weren't getting, you know, food assistance. They couldn't get daycare. And they were being harassed by the police. So what do? Is they opened up before and after school food programs. So before school, your kid could go to a building in the community and be fed. And after school, they could go to a community and to be watched and fed. So you could go to work. They opened up free clinics in their community. So people that were sick had a place to go that didn't charge them to get seen by a doctor or a nurse. And then you had their more radical arm that was walking in following police officers and making sure that they weren't harassing and abusing people of color. And so you had like this community action that came together. And they said, look, our communities are being abandoned. And instead of begging the government to help us because they don't care, we're going to band together and do something. And it was beautiful. And it worked so wonderful for so many years. You know, the FBI and CIA really cracked down on them hard and came down and murdered lots of them and started lots of chaos and, you know, implanted people to really tear that apart.
Taking guns into that courthouse was a bold move, too. I agree, though. I mean, it really did provide a service that wasn't available before.
Right. And no, you know, taking guns in that courthouse was a very bold move. And that's the only time you'll ever see Republicans suddenly be really in favor of gun control. Reagan was quick
when
to
the
run
black guy is holding the rifle. You're like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, but if you really look back and you watch, like, there's the documentaries. There's one called Black Panthers: Vanguard of the Revolution, and so much of the stuff they accomplished, and so much, you know, and very much so much of the nonviolence in their work. They were very much rooted in Martin Luther King Jr.'s teachings, but they also believed that they needed to be armed to protect themselves. And it was rare that those arms came into use, but it offered them something that made those police stop and think before they dragged someone out of their car. And, you know, it forced a sort of level playing field that they had never had before. But, you know, so anarchism is very much rooted in this building these kinds of things where, you know, you're self-reliant, but you have this autonomy, but you're coming together. And I really do believe people, when they need to do it, will come together and they will help each other. Look what they do during natural disasters. People turn out and they help their neighbors. Throughout most of the time, we don't do that because we just figure someone else can do it. And we have this government that's going to do it for us. I think if you remove that, people would really band together. And if you remove that profit motive and the idea that you need to make money to have these things and that you have a right to food, you have a right to housing, you have a right to healthcare, I think people's mindsets would change a lot. And that would change fundamentally how we live.
I didn't know you were such an optimist, Dan.
at the core of everything, I'm very optimistic that we can work towards something better. And that's why I do what I do.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Fighting for your right to reason.
Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me! Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me!